female. Janine Denton wasn't one of them. The last victim. The only survivor. As for the girl running toward Gil at the moment, he didn't know her name, but he had begun to call her Lorraine in his head, because if he were to name her after having laid his eyes on her one time, that was what his mind would tell him. It was either that or Roxanne, the little blonde girl he fondly remembered kissing when he was just 6 years old. She had been his first. No. Roxanne was too sharp-sounding, though. Not right for this girl. Lorraine had a sweet sound, like music. When he whispered the name on the night air, he could practically hear it floating in the breeze, drifting around to meet his ears again. Gil closed his eyes. Lorraine. She needed no last name. He would know her intimately, but not for so long that it would matter. As she approached, he zipped his jacket and pulled the hood over his head. It was the heart of summer, and all the snowbirds had gone home. Most of the condominiums in the nearby mid-rise towers were vacant. He knew one that most surely was, for he had already used his swipe card to access the elevator. Before he left for the day, he'd slipped upstairs and used the master key he'd stolen from his supervisor to unlock the door of the penthouse suite. The company for which he worked, Tyler's Specialty Painting, had won the bid to paint all of the units in the complex, as well as all the common areas. Gil learned the penthouse was vacant for the long term when they began work there, working their way down to the lower floors. They would be all alone on the deserted top floor, the 8th level. Right now, only 2 residents on the 7th floor lived there full-time, and they were both as deaf as tree stumps. An old woman, probably in her 80s and widowed, lived a door to the right of the elevator. At the west end of the floor was an old man who always played Frank Sinatra at full volume. Fucker was probably closer to 90 years if he was a day. As Lorraine approached, jogging close to the edge of the asphalt path, her reddish-blonde hair bounced in the faint moonlight. A distant boat purred along the Caloosahatchee River, but Gil focused on Lorraine. She drew closer, and he reached out, hooked his arm across her face, palmed the back of her head, and slammed her forehead into the trunk of the tree behind which she had been hiding moments before. It had taken less than 2 seconds. The 20-something-year-old had only time to emit a brief squeal before her head met the bark of the old Spanish oak. Her eyes rolled back and her legs buckled. Gil caught her beneath the arms and dragged her quickly through the grass toward his old Toyota, zigzagging through all the plant identification signs, telling visitors to the park what kinds of plants they were stomping on. Okay. The car was his mother's Toyota. He lived with her in Lehigh Acres, but it was just temporary. A place to stay after getting out of a 1-month stint in jail for a petty theft charge. Gil knew he needed his own place. He had big plans, and none of them would happen in his goddamn mom's house. Edna Bellows was tolerant of him, but she would take only so much, and that did not include some of his favorite things. Like this. The 2-door coupe was a rusty piece of shit, and the lid of the trunk protested with some fervor when he opened it. He glanced briefly behind him and lowered her into the trunk, resting her inside the travel golf bag he'd picked up at the thrift store. It was nice and strong, but it was made of lightweight canvas. Her small frame fit perfectly within. It was designed to hold a full, large bag filled with clubs, along with golf shoes, ball retrievers, and anything else a golfer might want to take on a plane. Lorraine. He reached down and stroked her breast through her t-shirt, moist with her sweat from the jog. Gil turned and looked behind him again. Nothing moved. He turned back, bent down, and pressed his nose into her shirt, breathing in, filling his lungs. Standing upright, he closed his eyes and held the breath. It was her inside his lungs. It was Lorraine's very essence. The brown 1979 Celica may have been in its last legs, but it had enough juice to get his prize where he wanted her. He zipped the bag and closed the trunk, again eyeing the park before getting into the driver's seat, the driver's door protesting as much as the trunk. As he turned on the headlights and cranked the steering wheel hard to the left, movement caught his eye. It was a man. He was holding something in his hands. He was holding it up to his eyes. Gil put the car in gear and accelerated slowly, keeping one eye on the distant figure. He listened for pounding from the trunk.